You know your race can become an idolatry. And this whole mindset of black church, white church, I come against it with a revenge. I just hate it. Filipinos church, Hispanic church, white church, black church. It's just grief. It's just like makes me. Because that's one thing that is destroying our country. And when I'm talking about our country, God gives us this beautiful country. I was born in Haiti. Thank God, through the processes, maybe 15 years ago, I become a citizen of this country. Do you know America is the only country everyone in America is from somewhere else? So when people, whoever, whatever mindset you have, or whatever your skin color is, you think, well, where are you from? When people ask me where I'm from, I say, yeah, I was born in Haiti, so where are you from? Thank God I know where I'm from. A lot of people here in this country, they don't know where they're from. They think, well, I'm American. Really? You should probably do a little research on history to find out where you come from. I come against the whole idea, black church, white church, and then you have people who goes to church are looking for, what are you looking for? Are you looking for Jesus, the Messiah? Maybe your skin color might be different color than another, but where God wants you to be is in a community where you don't look like everybody else. Thank you. So when the guys, I mean, of course, he was my color. But when he said that, that kind of, I said, oh, yeah, there's black people here. How you doing? You know? Oh, yeah. Because you see people label a church, white church, black church, and then the black, the whole racism mindset puts you in a box where you feel like, well, I'm not comfortable around white people because they're racist. Really? Oh, I'm not comfortable around black people because they are racist. Racism is wrong. No one is better than you, and you know better than nobody else. We were all created in the image of God. That's why I think I'm an immigrant, okay? I came from Haiti. The first time I came here, I had a visa. I filed for residency just like everybody else. But I think it's very dangerous, especially when people come in America, live in this country, and they don't contribute for the well-being of this country. Jeremiah chapter, one of the chapters says that. You know, you pray for the well-being of the land. You know, it just makes me mad, a holy anger that people label. And you know those people, they're not looking for God. They're looking for whatever they're looking for, something else. Because if you are truly looking for the Messiah, you're looking for your soul to be in intimacy with God, it won't matter which local community God puts you. You might be the only different person there, but God wants you here. You know, and that's why I believe this week, in the coming season, I know Robert will be preaching next week, and then we're going to transition in our mission month. We're going to have different speakers, but I want everybody to write this down or take picture of this screen. This is the question I have for you this morning. What part of your life is Jesus not Lord over? What part of your life is Jesus not part over? Qui section dans la vie que Jésus pas Seigneur? What part of your life is Jesus not Lord over? This week I pray, every day this week I pray. I said, Lord, please reveal to me any area in my life that you're not Lord over. Reveal to me. This is what it says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we not prophesy in your name? Or in your name drive out demons? Or in your name perform many miracles? Then the word of Christ says, verse 23, I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers, which means a person who commits profoundly immoral or evil deeds. Now, the verse 23 in Matthew 7 from the NLT, it says here, it says, actually, I have it here. It says, but I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. So the question remains, which area in your life are you breaking God's law? Which area, where in your life are you breaking God's law? And you can't, I mean, seriously, you cannot say, I don't break God's law. Because then you would be fooling yourself. So therefore, I pray, I said, Lord, please, by the power of the Holy Spirit, open my eyes so I know. I don't want to miss it. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, you know this verse should scare us, should scare us. Not everyone in church who says, Lord, 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 not everyone will make it. Which part of your life, what part of your life is Jesus not Lord over? Because when I read the Bible, one thing I realize, Jesus will either be Lord of all or not Lord at all. I like this verse 23 in the King James. It says, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, a state of disorder due to a disregard of God's law. That's what lawlessness is. You disregard God's principles. You disregard God's law. For example, you don't have to raise your hands. But how many of you read your Bible this week? How many of you spent time in the Word this week? It would be kind of a dumb question. If anybody had dinner last night? Of course we did. Unless you didn't feel like it, but dinner was available. Some of us, we might even eat too much because we know we eat. We have to eat. And then you wonder why your spirit, think about it. I have about between 30 to 40 minutes to give you a sermon. The word of the Lord. Do you think that's going to hold you? It's okay, yeah. But you won't survive if you don't feed your spirit. The world will eat your life. Satan will eat your life. As a matter of fact, if you don't know God's word, Satan will even use the word to deceive you. Oh, it broke my heart. I was talking to somebody. It's just living in sin. The person says, God told me to leave my wife. Yeah. God told me to divorce my wife. Exactly. God hates divorce. Now, I know there are many circumstances. If the person is infidel, is not faithful in the marriage, commit adultery, if you are being abused spiritually, physically, emotionally, those are things you can take in consideration. Talk to your God, because I think God hates abuse as much as he hates divorce. Yeah, because we're not going to use that. Because I know that's one thing the church never addressed. People living in a marital relationship where one is being abused. And then the church says, you know, you be the Lamb of God, be the Lamb, be a martyr. No. If you come talk to me, man, I'll tell you, get away from him. Get away from her. Or ask him, call him up, ask him to change his behavior. You say, honey, I don't want to get a divorce. I don't want to do, but you got to change your behavior. You got to start treating me like I am worth. Other than that, you know the rest. Lawlessness. The American Standard Version, I like verse 23 where it says, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, he that work iniquity. 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 Immoral. Grossly unfair behavior. And we know we live in an age right now where people are calling good evil, evil good. They're even trying to call day night, night day, men women, women men. You know, I don't know. I haven't heard it yet for people to call a dog a cat yet, but be careful. It might get to that. You know? What part of your life, what part in your life is Jesus not Lord over? Please think about this. Which area in your life? If God's way, if you follow God's way, he will bless you. It's not enough to just come to church. Do you know the Lord? Because Matthew 7, 21 to 23 says, not everyone who's saying, Lord, Lord, will enter heaven. Aren't you afraid of God's judgment? Do you just want to be one of them east, like Baptist, one of them isms, Pentecostal, you know? Is that what you want? No. At the end of the day, none of those things will do you any good. What part of your life is Jesus not Lord over? Listen to what it says in Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 49. He says, so why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you do not do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, underline, comes to me, listen, underline, listen to my teaching. So two things here. Comes to the Lord and listen. He says, I'll teach you when someone comes to me and they listen to me. Then it doesn't stop there. Three words. Come, listen, and follow. Don't you love God's word? It's not enough to just come. Just like some people think, are you Christians? Like back in the days, America used to identify themselves as a Christian nation. Yeah. When you study American history, the Constitution, America was built on principle, biblical values. That's why us kings, citizens of heaven, we must have a biblical worldview. If you don't have a biblical worldview, the world will tell you what view you should have. Amen? Like for us, who was born in Haiti, still today they're trying to say Haiti is a voodoo country. You know what happened? After the slaves killed the French, the Spanish destroyed everything, their slogan was, coupe tête boule caille. Just think about this with me for a minute. If this wasn't straight an idea from hell, from the devil, so you're going to fight against your oppressors, but your leader says, we're going to kill our, you know, oppressors, but we're going to burn everything. Why would you do that, dummy? Why would you kill? Okay, yeah, let's kill our oppressors. But why would you burn everything? Where are you going to live after you burn everything? I understand coupe tête, cut heads. You know, let's just kill everybody. Because they're, you know, slave, it's enough, we're gonna revolt, we're gonna, it's enough, we're done with slavery. But why would you destroy the house? Why would you go to the farms, the fields, the corns field, the, you know, why would you go and burn everything? The answer is simple. It's clear. Because the enemy does three things: kill, steal, and destroy. That's why the Bible says, blessed is the nation who God is their Lord. And you see what has been happening to our beloved America. We've been turning our back on God. We say, well, we don't need God. We don't need the Bible. They've removed him from the government, the Bible from the government in school. You know, people used to be not Christians, professing Christian, but more back in the days, years ago. Why? Because society was, you know, the Bible was the base. And now, until we turn back to God, we're in big trouble. Just two different countries. I mean, those are two places I know. Haiti being a voodoo country, the pearl of the island, one of the most beautiful and richest country in the island. Beautiful. But we know it's being destroyed. The enemy does that. Come, listen, follow. You cannot just come to God. You must listen. And then if you're listening, your life should prove it. That's why it's not enough to just come to church. Is your life, which area in your life that Jesus is Lord over? Is Jesus Lord over all your life? You cannot be one foot in the world, one foot in the church. It doesn't work. Remember my ladder? You can't move like that. It's like, give me a little bit of world. Give me my pleasure. Bam plaisir, papa. Give me my pleasure. Give me my Jesus, you know. I like being Adventist. Oh, I just love being, I don't know, wherever else you feel comfortable. Some people are looking for different religion. I feel better in this religion. Why? Because Sunday I can come and do my mass, and then Monday I can go party. I can just live my life for myself. Really? Jesus is either the Lord of all your life or he's not. But as for me and this church, I declare Jesus is all we need, all we want here. In my own life, in my marriage, in my family, in my relationship with my kids, in my business, Jesus is Lord of all. Everything I do. You know, Kendra was reminding me that one of the mission month, we had a missionary coming and she was talking about the difference between the Eastern mindset and the Western, people from the East, people from the West. And think about it. People from the East, you know, like, we've studied, like, you know, the history of the Muslim, different culture, different religion. Their mindset is like spaghetti. Like a Muslim, their faith conduct their behavior, even in the way they dress, which is great. It's their deal. It's their thing. They have at it. But us in the West, we compartmentalizing everything. We do our church box, and then we have our work box. So the church box does not touch the work box. That's why we can be one person in church and another person at work. We can be another person here in Bible study, and then when we go to Walmart, we're chewing everybody off. Yeah, because we compartmentalizing everything. Three words again. Come, listen, and follow. It's not enough to just pray the sinner's prayer. Once saved is not always saved. You know the only person that happened to is the guy who died on the cross. He confessed and then he died. But if you're still breathing, you prayed the Lord's Prayer, you must listen to the God's teaching. That's why the Bible says you need to work your salvation with fear and trembling. And you must remain in God's teaching. That's how you save. You know, you see people, they're living their life as them being on the throne of their life and thinking they're following God. Mm-mm. Jesus is either the Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Which area in your life that Jesus is not Lord over? For me, one of the things that I am experiencing so much victory in it is my relationship with my siblings. I'm in so much freedom. They haven't changed. No. They're still the same. But I have made a decision when it comes to me. On my end, Jesus is going to lord over how I feel towards them. So I forgive them. So I reach out. On their birthdays, we don't talk about politics. Because that's not something we can talk about. We talk about, hey, how you doing? I show them that I love them. At the beginning, now I don't struggle with that anymore. But at the beginning, it was just like, I'm not doing it. And this is when you live by the power of the Holy Spirit. You live by the Spirit. I want to please God in everything I do. You see, when you want to please God in everything you do, when you realize, man, if I don't do this, it's gonna sacrifice my relationship with my Father. Man, the price is too high to pay. I'm gonna do it. And in surrender, you'll find peace. In surrender to that. And the more you keep surrendering to the Lord, the more victorious you are. Yeah? Because it's the word of the Lord. In Galatians, it says, if you live according to the Spirit, you won't accomplish the desire of the flesh. Romans chapter 8. All who live according to the flesh, you know what that means? According to your own desire. Everyone who live their life with them on the throne of their life will never please God. Now you can flip that verse saying, everyone who live their life as Jesus on the throne of their life, they will please God. Man, guys, when we please God, he blesses us. We live healthy. When I'm saying healthy spiritually, I'm not necessarily making reference of physical health. We live in peace. Three words. What are they? Come, listen, and follow. Those people who do those three things, it's like a recipe, right? It's like a person building a house who dig deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the flood waters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who, three other words, I see three other words in this verse right here. Here's actually two. Hears and doesn't obey. Hear, but they don't obey. You hear, but you never take to heart. That's why when you read the gospel, when you read the New Testament, you hear a lot of places where it says, if you have ears to hear, listen. Something like that, right? Si vous avez oreilles pour entendre, entendez. If you have ears to hear, you better listen, meaning, please, pay attention to what's being said. pay attention. Because if you hear, you don't obey, you are like a person who builds a house without a foundation. Who does that? In the word of the Lord, in Proverbs, Proverb would call such person a fool. But who does build a house without a foundation? That's a lot of money to build a house. That's a lot of energy to build a house without a foundation. Because what happened when the floods sweep? Because what happened, whether you build a house on solid rock or on sand, the flood will come. Both houses have one common denominator. It's the flood, the worries of life, the death, the sickness, the country goes crazy, the whatever else we face. It says when the floods sweep against that house, it will collapse into a heap of wounds. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9 and 11. It says, do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? See, this verse matches exactly with Matthew. Not everyone who says, Lord, 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 will inherit the kingdom. But, and then Paul is talking about to the church in Corinth, and that church was a very carnal church. And he's like, don't you know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral nor idolaters. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Idolaters. I go back to what I said at the beginning. And if you think about it, I've been thinking about it in the past couple of days. Some race worship their race. Like, God created me black. I am proud to be a black man. I love that God made me black. I never wish to be any different colors. I'm proud to be a Haitian. But you know why I'm like that? It's because I met Jesus. Because before I met Jesus, I was ashamed where I came from. I was even ashamed of my family. I know the spirit of racism is out there. But I've never put myself in a situation for anybody to be racist against me. Plus, none of my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents were slaves. Yeah, I told you here. When I was growing up, my school teacher hated white people. So the way he taught me Haitian history, he taught it with bitterness. He taught us children with bitterness. So I was a kid. I didn't know. So I grew up, man. I'm like, man, give me a white man. I want to cut their head. Because he's just like, they're so evil. Right. And then me, I grew up as a young teenager. Every time I see a white person on the street, I'm like, go to your country. Go back home. I had this bitterness against white people. And God had a good sense of humor. He's like, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to shape a beautiful white girl for him. And then give me children with her. But I remember in 1997 when the Lord set me free from that mindset. I'm realizing, wow. It says in the word, every tongues, every people, every nation. That's why we come against this spirit of racism, even in the church of God. There's no place for that in God's church. Because in God's church, in God's kingdom, we see every tongue, every people, every nation, every shape, every color, every height. Hallelujah. When I read the word, that's what I see. And God set me free from this. And I believe one of the things preachers here in America, they're challenged to talk about this stuff. Because everybody wants to be politically correct. I just want to be biblically correct. Let's leave all the politically correct, culturally correct on the side. I will remain biblically correct. But because I'm not here to please anybody, I'm here to please God. I'm here to see God's word being preached. I'm here to see you train in God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. You can read that later. That's what it says. When we allow the word of God to teach us, to rebuke us, and that's what God did with me. He taught me. He's like, you know what? This mindset is not kingdom mindset. You know, when I see a black man, I don't see like my brother. You know, there is this call, this name, this talk between black people. Oh, yeah, my people. Yo, my people. You're my people. Well, it's everybody my people. Everybody is my people. Because my primary citizenship is kingdom citizenship. I'm not just a Haitian living in America with American citizenship. I am a heavenly citizen. I am a citizen of heaven. That's how you say it. A citizen. And so are you. So are you. You knew it. Let me remind you again. You're not from here. What would you give for 80? What would you compare to 95 years? Because if you're like really, really robust physically, you might live to be 97 and can barely move. What can you compare to eternity? So your true citizenship is in heaven. It's in heaven. And thank God that Jesus came to give us that citizenship. You know, so what area in your life Jesus is Lord over? Like I said, I have so much to say, but this might end up being like a series. Because I need another hour and a half to talk to you about this. But I want you to think about this and take it to the altar. I'm going to ask Alyssa to come and the worship team. And let's do this. Let's take 10 minutes or however long the Lord will see it fit. Let's give an answer. We can dim the lights a little bit for more intimacy. Would you give an answer to the Lord this morning? Which area in your life Jesus is not Lord over? Well, you know, and maybe you don't know, you can ask him. Say, Lord, open my eyes. Is there an area in my life you're not Lord over? And as he opened your heart, I have our ministry team. They'll be available to pray with you. Come to the altar. The altar is a safe place. It doesn't mean that you are a sinner, you're a bad person. It's just we create this moment for you to give an answer to the word of the Lord. Which area in your life do you need? Maybe there is an area in your life the Lord is already reigning. He's already Lord. But you need to give him more ownership. We're going to learn in the coming weeks that the word Lord is from the Greek Adonai, which means owner. The Lord is my owner. He owns me. I mean, I belong to him. He's my father. He's got good plans for me. So let's give an answer to the word of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Lord.